So this morning we're in Mark chapter 2, and we'll go from verse 1 down to verse number 12, and that will be our scripture reading for this morning. Mark chapter 2, I'll begin in verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so, as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Together in verse 12. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. So the story is a man who was born of four, and I obviously you understand born, carried by these four, could not find room, and so they make a way to get to the roof. Now their houses were different than our houses that we have today, but nonetheless they got up to the roof, which a lot of times in those days they were kind of flat, and sometimes they would spend time on the roof, kind of like a patio on top, they found a way to get through that roof, maybe move some things around, and lower this fella down right where Jesus was, and then Jesus heals him. And so we're going to talk about this morning, preach about this morning, seeing the importance of faith. And let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word to the hearts of your people. We're here this morning. We can be a little confused why some folks are not here. We can be a little perplexed about how people are responding. But Lord, right now, we are here, we're looking to you, and we're trusting you to meet with us. So it would not matter if the place was full and overflowing, or if there was just a couple people here this morning. What really matters is that you're here, and that's always what we seek. Father, I pray you speak to my heart. Encourage me, strengthen me, convict me, reprove me. And Father, I pray that you, from here, from my own heart, then Lord, you work in each heart that's here as well. And Lord, if whatever good is accomplished, whatever benefit occurs, Lord, help us, remind us, Lord, that's all because of you. What you have done, what you have blessed us this morning. So I pray that for these things, in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So we think about this idea of the faith, seeing the importance of faith. It's not unusual to hear, in the idea of faith, it's not unusual to hear comments like this. Probably this, the first one, is a usual comment. When you talk to people about the Lord, or talk to people about the Bible, or come to church, whatever, when some type of church, Christian, Bible conversation happens, people will say this, well, I have my faith. And that's a way to kind of push you off. Well, you know, I have my faith. And as a way of, you have yours, I have mine. You know, you do your thing, I do my thing. And they'll say, make a statement like that. I have my faith. Or even, sometimes in a religious grouping of people, they'll say, well, you know, we're people of faith. And a lot of times it's an ecumenical bringing together of people, and they'll just make that as a broad statement. Now, we are people of faith, and there's, you know, Catholics, there's Muslims, there's Mormons, there's Jehovah's Witnesses all grouped together. We are people of faith. Or sometimes we'll say this, even us will say it,
say it sincerely, we'll say something like this. Well, what you need faith. And that, all those are statements that we make. But I think it's important to understand, when we say faith, what are we talking about? Because we need to understand what faith is to understand the importance of it. To the world, faith, especially when they say a statement like, I have my faith, faith is synonymous with religion. That's what they mean. I have my faith, I have my religion. That's what they're saying. And so to them, faith and religion are one and the same. That's not true biblically, but it's true. That's what how the world sees it. To believers, to those sitting here or sitting anywhere who would claim Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who would say there's been a place and a time when I recognize my sin before a holy God, realize I was unable to save myself, nothing I could do to change the dynamic, I'm a sinner headed for hell, and I looked to Christ, realized He made a payment for my sin, and trusted Him and Him alone. That's what we're talking about. Born-again believers, not churchgoers, not religious people, not good people, but born-again believers. Okay, that's the group we're talking about. So to the world, faith, religion, one and the same. To us as born-again believers, faith is entirely based on the Word of God. We have to make sure we understand that. I trust that you do, but we need to be reminded faith is based on the Word of God. Here's what Romans 10 says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's soul winner preacher, not pastor preacher. That's someone giving them the gospel. Now look at verse 15. And how shall they preach? How are you going to tell them this? How are you going to give them this? Except they be sent, as is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We're not done yet. Notice it goes to verse 17. So we got to call on the Lord. In order to call on the Lord, someone's got to give you the gospel. We need to be sent, and we are, because God has sent us. But notice as we continue what these verses say. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah, that's Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now look at verse 17. So then, faith cometh by what? Hearing, someone's got to tell you, but notice this, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way you can have, now, to me this is simplistic, but most people seem to be clueless about this. The only way to have Bible faith is having faith in what the Bible says. If you cannot take your faith and attach it to the Scripture, you do not have biblical faith. Oh, Pastor White, that offends me. My faith is biblical. I know it's biblical. Okay, then show me in the Bible why you believe what you believe. Because that's how faith must be attached. It's not attached to a church. It's not attached to a denomination. It's not attached to a preacher, pastor, priest, or whatever. It must be attached to the Word of God to be Bible faith. Biblical faith is Bible faith, and that's the faith that we're called to have. When we talk about the importance of faith, we're talking about the importance of biblical Bible faith. So when God speaks of faith, He speaks of Bible faith. Now watch, and this is the only type of faith that He honors. If you have your faith and it's not Bible faith, then you do not have the faith that God honors, that pleases Him, that He blesses. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, you have your opinion, I have mine. Okay, let's see what the Bible says. Hebrews 11 says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Well, what kind of faith are we talking about? Well, watch, for he that cometh to God, now he's going to describe the faith he's talking about, must believe that He is. Well, how do I know anything about God? From the Bible. The Bible manifests, reveals the Lord to us. Not only do I believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me explain what faith is. Faith is going to the Word of God, and you see something from the Bible, and God says, here, if you do these things, I'm going to do this. And so I say, well, I'm going to do what God says, believing that God's going to do what He says. That's where the faith is. I haven't seen it yet. I'm trusting God to keep His Word. I believe He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By the way, that's how you got saved. I ask this, and I'm always scared when I ask this question, because I know someone's going to say something else other than what I would hope you'd say. How many... I'm going to cover my eyes to start with, okay? How many have ever seen Jesus Christ alive? You have not. How many have ever been to heaven? You have not. But you're trusting someone you've never seen to go to a place you've never been. Well, why? Because that's what the Bible tells us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here's how I exercise faith. I believed what the Bible says. I called upon the name of the Lord. Believing God will do exactly what He said. I'll be saved from my sin. He'll give me a home in heaven when I die. I'm trusting the Lord. He's a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. He is, and He's a rewarder. So it's not just simply that God is there, but God keeps His Word. And so I put my trust, my faith, my confidence in the Bible that God will do what He says. Now, this is the type of faith that pleases Him. But without faith, this is the faith we're talking about, is impossible to please Him, Him being God. So when God speaks of faith, He speaks of Bible faith. And this is the only type of faith that He honors, that He blesses, that pleases Him. Now, we won't do this morning, but I'll give you, if you want a little bit of homework assignment, go to Hebrews 11, that's what this verse is from. And you read Hebrews 11, and look how God said this, like He said, Noah, build a ark. Good. Seems paying attention. I leave out words. People paying attention. So God said, Noah, I want you to build a what? Ark. And it's going to rain. And when it rains, it's going to flood the world. You know, we're led to believe in the Bible, if we understand what the way these verses are laid out, that up to this point in time, it had never rained. It's going to rain, something it hasn't done, and enough to flood the world, but not, it wasn't just a rain. The depths were open, it came up and came down and wiped out everything. So Noah had to build an ark, had to do what God said, trusting that God would do what He was going to say. And over again, we see Abraham that way, we see Lot that way, we see Jacob that way. All over and over again, he mentions other people in the Bible, how they responded to God's Word, and that was their faith that honored and pleased the Lord. So this is the faith that God speaks of, this Bible faith. This is the type of faith that God honors, that pleases Him, that He blesses. So there are, I would agree with people who say, I have my faith. There are different types of faith, but there's only one Bible faith. And that is a faith in God's Word, and that's the only faith that counts. It's not Muslim faith. It's not Buddhist faith. It's not Hindu faith. It is Bible faith that God honors, that God blesses, that pleases Him. Here's a verse I saw. I think my preacher preached on it back in my teenage years. If not, it was right when I got to college. It was early in my Christian life. I saw this verse, and it always kind of, it just always seemed strange. It's not that I doubted it. It was like, that's hard to believe. I'll show you the verse I'm talking about. Luke 18:8 says this. Jesus is speaking. I tell you that He will avenge him speedily. Now He's finishing up a statement. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? And I said, there's so many people who have so many faith. I mean, why wouldn't God find faith? And then I have to, over a period of time, understand what He's saying. I think when Jesus comes, there's going to be a lot of faith, but very little Bible faith. That's what He's talking about. He's looking for the faith that He wants to see. Not faith in your religion, not faith in what you think, not faith in what someone else said, but faith in what the Bible says. And so this morning we're talking about this importance of faith, and we define faith very carefully. We're talking about biblical faith. Well, what is the importance of this biblical faith, faith in the Bible, faith in what the Bible says? Why is this so important? Well, that brings us back to our text. Because when it's biblical faith, when it's Bible faith, some certain things happen. Certain things are put in motion in our life. So go back with me to Mark chapter 2. So what is this importance of this biblical faith? Well, the first thing I share with you, I see in verse number 3, going down to verse number 5. And they came unto him, him being Jesus, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. So four people carrying one person. Verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they, this would be the four, let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So four people bring one guy. They can't get in, so four people carry the one guy up to the roof, and four people lower the one guy. Now look at verse number 5. When Jesus saw, watch the next word, their faith. Is he talking about the guy who has a palsy? This is a plurality. He's talking about the four. The four that carried him, the four that took him to the roof, and the four that lowered him down. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So the first thing we understand about this biblical faith we're talking about, number one, is this. Faith is important because it moves us to action. True biblical faith moves us, motivates us, gets us busy doing something. The Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. Now, talking about the four who brought the man to Jesus. Their faith that was shown in carrying him to Jesus. Their faith that was shown in fighting through the crowd trying to get to Jesus. Their faith that was shown in climbing up to the roof. Could you ever think about the difficulty of this task? We have no idea what the size of this guy is. He might have been a skinny guy. He might have been a well-upholstered guy. We don't know. But the guy, they're carrying this guy, and they're bringing him all the way to the house, and then there's a crowd. And you're trying to get, they're carrying a guy trying to get through a crowd, trying to move, and no one's moving. They can't get through. They're all aggravated. And then someone comes in ideas, carry him up to the roof. Really? Great idea. And now they're working, and it had to be, you ever carry something up to, like, I don't know, was it up a ladder? That would be very difficult. Is it stairs of going up, trying to manipulate? Okay. You ever carry things up and down stairs? It's not an easy task. And they're carrying this guy, hopefully not dropping him at all, bringing him all the way up, and then they're uncovering the roof, and then they're lowering the guy down through the hole. A lot of action going on, isn't it? And Jesus said this, he was seeing their faith. Because they were acting because they had a belief about something. So faith is important because it moves us to action. This idea of faith is we are doing what God said, believing that God will do what He said. When we talk about biblical faith, it is both an obedience and a trust. Brother Choma talked about trust and obey. In fact, sing the song for us. You want me to do the same? Okay, I didn't think so. No, don't keep preaching. Okay, preach. Okay, so we look at this idea of trust and obey. They always go together because when I say faith is doing something, believing God to do something, you say, well, that's not faith, that's obedience. Well, you can't separate obedience from faith because in the doing of it, it's not just the obedience. It's not I'm just doing it. It's the doing of it. Connected with the trust that God will do it. I'm not just doing something. I'm doing something in faith, in trust, in expectation the Lord's going to do something. So they're not just carrying a guy, hey, whatever, nothing else to do. So let's carry this guy down the street here. Now, they're carrying a guy. They're bringing him. They're going through all the struggle because there's a faith, a confidence, a trust that if I can get him to Jesus, something good is going to happen here. So the obedience is connected to the action because there's a trust in what God could do. And so when we talk about faith, it's always connected to an action. God is saying, I want you to show me your faith. I want you to act on what you say you believe, because the acting means you really believe it. So faith is both obedience and trust together. Faith is not, now watch this, faith is not seeing how God is going to do it. Well, I just don't see how God's going to do it. That's not requirement of faith. Faith is not understanding how God's going to do it. Faith is trusting God's going to do it. I don't know how He's going to do it. I just trust He's going to do it. So faith is not seeing how God is going to do it. Faith, now watch this, faith is seeing what the Bible says, then doing it, trusting God to keep His word. So let me ask you a question this morning. As a born-again believer, okay, we're talking about faith. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about just something you believe. We're talking about something the Bible says that you hold true, that you believe the Bible says it, and that God expects it from us to live this way, and that God's going to do something based on keeping that word and trusting Him and that faith. So in regards to this biblical faith, is your life identified by actions based on biblical faith? What are you doing that's directly connected to the Word of God, that you're doing it in expectation that God is going to keep His Word? Now, let me use the big one, the one that for some people it's an encouragement, for some people it's not so much, but it's the one that's probably the most obvious one in the Christian life. Tithing. I've been in different places financially in my life. Well, I've not been in all the places. I've never been like way up here. Okay, but I've been in different places underneath that. And there have been times, okay, I have tried, and I'm obviously not perfect. I'm sure if I go to heaven and I could actually look at all the records, if God had, not that He's clocking our sin or anything like that, but if there was some record that I could see every event I ever did, I'm sure I'll find times when I didn't tithe on something or maybe missed a week and or something. But for the most, my knowledge, what I'm aware of, ever since even before marriage, but our entire marriage life, we have tried to tithe on a regular basis. That's not always been easy. Kids like to eat, and sometimes it's like, oh, okay, feed the kids or tithe. It's always right to do what's right. Now, there have been times when it's been more of a struggle than other times, but it's always been an act of faith that if I do what God says, He will provide. And He's provided in miraculous ways and in different ways and has come through, and I'm thankful for that. But we do these things because this is what identifies us. I'm not, and I always got to, because people take me to an extreme. I'm not against, if you have a t-shirt that says I'm a Christian. I'm not against a hat that says I'm a Christian. But that's not really what identifies us. You know what identifies us as born-again believers? That our life is acting in such a way, based on the Word of God, and in trust of what God is going to do. This is what identifies us as believers. We're acting based on what the Bible says, trusting God is going to do what He said. I don't see how God's going to do it. I'm anticipating. I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm trusting Him. And there's always a risk involved because I don't see it. I don't know how it's going to happen. There's always a risk involved in the faith, but I'm trusting Him. So I ask you this morning, as a born-again believer, someone who claims to know Christ as Savior, someone who believes the Bible, is your life identified by actions based on biblical faith? And it's a lot more than tithing. I just use that as an example. There's a lot more things in the Bible other than that. Sometimes I know you wonder because that's the one we hit a lot, but there's a lot of other things in the Bible. Let me show you what the Bible says about this, James chapter 2. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith, he hath faith, and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, this is not talking about being saved from our sins. James is talking to believers. This idea of saving here, and I don't want to get too off on the path here, but he's talking about what we talk about as sanctification, this growing in our Christian life. That's the idea here. Can faith save him? In other words, can that faith that has no action to it, Is that the faith that really sanctifies, that really grows us in our Christian life? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In other words, it's just words. Is your faith just words, or there's action to what you're doing? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Doesn't say non-existent. It's dead. There's no life to it. There's no production to it. There's no reproducing to it. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Then I love this. This is, James has taken a lesson from Paul in a little sarcasm here. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. And I love this. The devils also believe and tremble. You believe in God? Great. Now you're on the same level as the devils. It's not simply an acknowledgement. It is a trusting in what the Bible says. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So I ask you the question again. Is your life identified by actions based on biblical faith? This is the importance of Bible faith. It motivates us. It propels us. It moves us to action. Can Jesus look at our life and see faith? I'm going to give you the second big thought. Go back with me to Mark chapter 2. Look again with me in verse number 3. And as you do that, let me go back to thought number 1. You know, when we think about living our Christian life, this isn't about everyone comes in, finds out what Pastor White thinks, and goes out and lives it. That's not what church is. Church is for me to show you from the Word of God what the expectation of God is for His people. For you saying that you believe in God and believe that the Bible is His Word is for you to look at it, to believe it, and put it in practice in your life. It's really what it is. This is not a bunch of lemmings. You know, we're marching off the cliff together because that's what everyone else is doing. This is faith in God's Word, faith in God of that Word, and putting that faith in practice in our life. So faith is important because it moves us to action. Back to chapter 2, look with me at verse 3 again. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed, wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now we talked about their action that showed their faith. But what was their goal? Was their goal just simply to carry the guy down the street? Hey, you're bored. Let's put him on this sling or whatever. We'll carry him around. Is that the purpose? Why did they go to that particular house? That's what Jesus was. Could they get in? So they were. What would they do next? Oh, well, too bad. Let's take them back home. No. What did they do? First they tried to fight through the crowd. But then what do? They go to the what? Roof. And probably to the homeowner's not too happiness. They open a hole in the roof somehow, some way. And they're probably like, crazy Baptist, now what are you doing? And they're lowering this guy down. Why are they making all this effort? Who are they trying to get him to? You notice there's an end point to their goal to the faith. It's not just faith to have faith. There's a point. There's a purpose. There's a goal. There's a direction in this. And so not only do we understand that the importance of our faith means that we are it's moving us to action, but number 2 is this: faith is important because it brings people to Jesus. Our faith is supposed to be bringing people to Jesus. That's the purpose. That's the end goal. I know we put faith in Christ to get saved, but that's bringing us to Jesus. And now we're putting, again, faith in God and His Word, the idea of bringing others to Jesus. Those who believe the Bible understand that God has a plan that involves the soul of every human being. Actually, I have a sermon, not tonight, a week from tonight, that I'm preaching along this way, and I'm trying to bite my tongue because there's some things that I think are important to understand about this. But this one statement is a very powerful statement. I'm going to say it again. Those who believe the Bible understand that God has a plan that involves the soul of every human being. Romans 4:14 says this, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, well, watch this, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.
Look at verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. To those of us who are saved, our account is very simple. We just point to the cross. If God says anything, okay, so let's just picture it happens this way. I'm sure it doesn't happen exactly like this, but let's picture it this way. You die, or maybe the rapture happens, whatever. We stand before the Lord. And the Lord says, Dale Stein. Now, Dale gave his testimony a week ago Wednesday. It's a good testimony. Got saved when you're 15, is that right? And good testimony. But anyway, so Dale Stein stands before the Lord. And the Lord says to Dale Stein, Dale, why should I let you, a guy who lives in, is it Avon Lake, right? A guy who's from Avon Lake, Ohio, why should I let you into heaven? Dale has one answer. The cross of Calvary. I put my faith in Christ. You don't claim a church. You don't say, well, you know, I went to such and such church. Then that doesn't matter. Well, you know, I put money in the plate. Doesn't matter. Well, you know, I try to take my family to church. I try to raise my kids. I put them in a Christian school. I try to be a good dad. Those are all good things, but it isn't going to get you to heaven. Well, here's how we give an account of ourselves. I'm talking about getting to heaven. We just point to the cross. That's our hope for heaven. To those who are unsaved, they have no hope. And that is what motivates us to tell them the gospel. There's nothing an unsaved person can tell the Lord for the Lord to let them in heaven other than this is what Christ has done for me. This understanding of sin and this understanding of hell motivates us to take a clear, unwavering stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't water it down. We don't try to make it unoffensive. We don't try to make it so that it's palatable to people. We just say it the way it is because you have to come to Christ in order to go to heaven. So when we talk about this faith that moves us to action, it's not just any action. It's not just busyness, but it's an action that promotes the gospel. So let me ask you a question again. I said the first question, is your life identified by actions based on biblical faith? Here's the second question I'm going to ask you. How can you, this is somewhat of a rhetorical question, I guess, how can you say you believe the Bible, but never be moved to tell anyone about Jesus? Because this Bible is all about Jesus. From cover to cover, it's all about Him. And it has one single message, and the message is the gospel. It begins to reveal it all the way in the book of Genesis, and it continues to unfold it all the way to Revelation, reaffirming, confirming the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can you believe the Bible and not be moved, motivated to witness? This is the action. This is the main action of our faith, getting the gospel to a lost world. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now what are we persuading them of? Of the gospel. But we are made manifest in the God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Jude 1, or the book of Jude says this in verse 22, and if some have compassion making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Now what is that talking about? It's talking about hell. Not a literal fire like they fell in a bonfire, but another literal fire, which is hell itself. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Born-again believers who are acting in faith. Now I want to slow down because I want you to think about this statement. Born-again believers who are acting in faith. So this faith moves us to action. Born-again believers who are acting in faith will be doing something to get the gospel to this lost world. And we should not poo-poo those who are doing something when we're doing nothing. Let me say what I'm... There are, okay, for example, on Thursday night, this we do it because this is how I feel about it. You can feel how you want to, but we're not literally knocking on a door. We're just putting these gospel tracts on the door till the stay-at-home order is over and people, again, start living in freedom and so forth. And so the day is coming, just like we've always done for 14 years. We will knock on doors. We will confront people the best we can, nicely, but confront them with the gospel. People say, well, Pastor White, I don't really see a value in just leaving a gospel tract on the door. Okay, so what are you doing? You're doing zero criticizing the person who's putting a gospel tract on the door. Maybe you ought to do more than them before you criticize what they're doing. So don't poo-poo what others are doing if you're doing nothing. But we ought to be doing something. We ought to be handing out a tract, giving your testimony, do something, somehow, trying to get the gospel to a lost world. This is what our faith does. It moves us to action. And it's the action has a purpose, and the purpose is to bring them to Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. Now, it's a lot easier, I guess, in some ways, carrying a guy in a sling to Jesus than actually knocking on a door trying to convince a lost sinner that he needs Christ. That can be a difficult task. But we need to do anything we can. If whatever, as far as they'll let us explain it to them, as far as we can talk to them, do whatever you can do trying to get the gospel to a lost world. So faith is important because it brings people to Jesus. Then there's a third aspect of this. So we talked about seeing the importance of faith. Well, it's important because it moves us to action. If we really have biblical faith, we're doing something. And I commend you for being here. You acted in faith this morning. You came to church. Praise the Lord for that. But we need to continue to have these acts of faith in our life. And the grand purpose, really the point of our actions is bringing people to Jesus. Then there's a third thought. Go back with me to our text, chapter 2. So why is all this important? What's it all about? Verse 8. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man, now watch this, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy. He says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, this is the guy with the palsy, took up the bed and went forth before them all. Now watch this, because this is the point we're going to make. Insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. So not only did the faith of these four was put in action, and the action was they brought him to Jesus, but notice the conclusion, the end result of all of this, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. That brings us to our third understanding. Number three is this. Faith is important because it allows God to reveal himself. When we're acting in faith, when we're living in faith, trying to bring people to Jesus, trying to live for the Lord, trying to have a life based on what the Bible says, as that happens, it allows God to begin to reveal himself to others through us. It's not about us. It's not so people say, oh, look, he's got faith. That's not why we're doing it. It's so people say, look, they're talking about Jesus Christ. And Christ is lifted up and he is honored. The purpose, the great end result of this, so we're acting in faith, we're bringing people to Jesus the best we can, we're trying to align our actions with the Word of God, but the great purpose, the great plan, the end result is that the Lord is lifted up, the Lord is glorified, and the Lord is beginning to be revealed to others. Now, let me just say a few words about this. Because when we talk about living by faith, it is a challenge. There is a certain risk factor to it. And you may say, well, you know, I'm trying to live by faith, but it doesn't seem like anyone's getting saved, and we begin getting maybe discouraged about it. Can I tell you this? I didn't say live in faith so people get saved. Because I can't get people saved. I can just tell them about Jesus.
but my actions are geared to get the gospel to them. What they do with the gospel is up to them. Okay, I'm not trying to be flippant or unkind, but I can't put them in a headlock, grab them by the hair, and drag them to Jesus. Okay, I can lovingly, kindly explain the gospel, pray that they would accept Christ. But the great goal of all of these things in our life is to lift up Christ. Number one, he deserves it. Don't you think? I mean, has God done anything in your life to deserve honor or glory? Can you think of one thing at least? Like salvation? Let me tell you, but it didn't stop at salvation, did it? Honestly, God has been good to you. Well, you don't know what my life's been. Let me tell you, God has been good to you. You live in the greatest country in the world. And no matter what struggles you're going through, your struggles would be a blessing in someone else's life. They would love to have your struggles. I mean, their kids are out in the big dump out of the city trying to pull out maybe enough food from the different things that have been thrown away, maybe to have a meal that day. And our big decision is this: well, I don't got enough money for that place, but I guess I have to go get a taco or a hamburger or something. And that's our big struggle. But nonetheless, we're blessed people. God has been good to us. And so it's important that we live by faith because God wants to reveal himself through you to others. So here's a statement I'm going to make. God will bring a believer to the end of himself. And by that, I mean you're out of options. You're out of maybe energy. You're out of gumption. You're the end of yourself. You're at the end of the rope. You're at the end of yourself. And all you can do is do right and trust God. That's all I can do. I just get up tomorrow and do what I'm supposed to do. I know what the Bible says. Sometimes we get to a point where at the end of our life, all I can do is put the next foot in front and then put the next foot in front and just keep living for the Lord. I'm tired. Or I'm at wit's end. I don't know how to deal with what's going on in my life. I'm at the end of myself. And that's different for different people. Sometimes it's a health issue. Sometimes it's a financial issue. Sometimes it's a family issue. Sometimes it's all of those things. But we come to the end of ourself. And when we get to that point, God still wants us to live by faith, to trust Him, to look to Him. Even though it seems like there's no answer, it seems like there's no hope, and if it's like, Lord, I have no idea what you're doing. I'm trying to live by faith. I'm trusting you. But that seems to be very hard to do right now. I don't see how you're coming through here. God brings us to the end of ourselves. And one of the reasons he does that, now thank God it's not every day, but one of the reasons he does that is God wants to show up. He wants to reveal himself so that he is glorified in your life. Not that people say, oh, look at Nick. I don't think we have anywhere Nick. So look at Nick. Wow, what a great person Nick is. No, that's not why God is doing it. God wants people to say, wow, Jesus sure has done something good in your life. He's looking for Christ, for God to be honored, revealed, and glorified in your life. Now, when we say that, some people I think misunderstand. God does not lift himself up because he's on an ego trip. It's not where God is like, it's all about me. And it is all about him, but it's not an ego trip. It's all about me. Look at me. Look at me. I don't want everyone looking at me. It's not an ego trip. But the Lord does want everyone looking at him because he is the answer. I'm not the answer. Don't look at me. I'm not the answer. He's the answer. People have said that before, like, wow. Boy, I wish I was a Christian like you. Let me tell you, you are a Christian like me. I got saved by putting my faith in Christ. You got saved by putting your faith in Christ. All I'm trying to do is live for the Lord. And if you see anything, I want you to see the Lord, what the Lord has done in my life, and look to Him for help in your life. It's not about me, it's about Him. And the Lord is not on an ego trip. He's trying to lift himself up because he is the need and the answer for all of us. John 12 says this. Jesus said, If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men into me. Very powerful verse. The Lord brings people to himself as he's lifted up in our life. So I asked you a question in point one. Is your life identified by actions based on biblical faith? I asked you a question in point two.
And that is, got to find my question. How can you say you believe the Bible and never be moved to witness or testify of Christ? And then I'll ask you now question number three, which is this. Are you willing? Now, think about this. I'm going to tell you, this is a hard question. Don't answer quickly. Think carefully. Are you willing to go through difficulty and discouragement if it means that others can see God working in your life? Think for a moment. You know, that may mean, I'm not trying to be unkind, but that may mean some type of great sickness in your life. Why would God do that? Because He wants to use that to draw people to Himself. Many of us are this way. Well, I would never agree to that. I want God to be lifted up in my health. I want God to be lifted up in my wealth. But maybe it's in your sickness and your poverty that lifts up Christ. I'm not saying it's always that way, but sometimes it is. Are we willing to live by faith, even though it's not turning out the way we want, but we're trusting God to come through in these things, to use us, to lift up Himself through our whatever we're going through? Are you willing to go through difficulty and discouragement if it means that others can see God working in your life? And they then live by faith and let God work in their lives. John 9. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. Blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. Let's just stop. Time out. You understand what Jesus just said? This man was born blind because that's what I wanted. See, that does not compute to our minds. We cannot imagine a God in heaven who would let a kid be born blind because somehow that allows God to do something. We say, why would God do that? Because God is about to do something miraculous through this. Watch this. I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. In other words, I'm going to heal this guy of his blindness so that my works can be seen, so that I can bring people to myself. So let me ask you this. Would you be okay if... I'm not trying to be crass or just uncaring. This is a hard question to ask. As a parent, would you be willing to say, God, it's okay if my child is born with some handicap or some issue, if that's your purpose and plan for him? We don't think that way. We think if God loves me, all my kids will be healthy, and they'll all grow up and love Jesus and serve Him the rest of their life. But sometimes you have to say, Lord, it's all in Your hands, and I trust You that whatever happens, You have a purpose and a plan. And I'm not going to doubt You and question You and get mad at You. I'm going to trust You. And somehow, Lord, even in this difficult thing in my life, You're going to lift Yourself up and draw people to Yourself. I just want to be used that way. This is the importance of faith. This gives us a different perspective about life. We're talking about seeing from God's perspective. This is how He sees it. I have a purpose and a plan. I want you to live by faith and trust me so I can lift myself up and draw people to me. So I tell you this morning, God is calling us as believers. We claim to be born again believers. God is calling us to a life of true biblical faith. And this faith that we're talking about is a faith that moves us to action. So if my Christian life is, take it or leave it, whatever, then I would say come this morning and ask God for real faith, because real faith moves us to action. So this is a faith that moves us to action. This is a faith that brings others to Christ, this true biblical faith that God is calling us to. So I'd ask you again, what have you done to get the gospel to a lost soul? Have you ever done anything? Have you ever handed out one tract? Have you ever talked to anyone about what salvation means? The same Bible that talks about heaven talks about hell. They're both real places.
And the difference isn't church, and the difference isn't good intents or good deeds. The difference is whether or not they've accepted Christ as Savior. And then the third thing is this, a faith that reveals God in your life. Are you willing to live by faith through personal difficulty if it allows God to show Himself strong to others around you? And so I ask you just maybe a caveat or a corollary statement would be this. As you go through your difficulties, as you go through that discouragement, are you focusing on your difficulty or are you focusing on your faith? And if this, any of this I just said challenges us, I would say come this morning and say, Lord, that's the kind of faith I want. I don't have it, or I have some of it, but Lord, that's the faith I want. True biblical faith. Would you bow your head and would you pray with me this morning?